Greetings and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. Today I'd like to offer my reflections on the recent debate between Ken Ham and Bill Nye. I title this, The Ham-Nye Creation Debate, A Huge Missed Opportunity. After watching the Ken Ham-Bill Nye debate on February 4th, 2014, I was reminded of what attracted me in the first place to the approach of investigating origins represented by the theory of intelligent design. Sure, Mr. Ham talked about some science here and there, but almost all of what he said focused on trying to support a young Earth viewpoint. Since he's not a scientist, many of his arguments amounted to, over and over again, something like this, because the Bible says so. Nye's main argument was, because the evidence says so, and he cited a lot of evidence for an old Earth. While Ken Ham did make a few effective points that you don't have to believe in evolution to do good science, the compelling scientific evidence for design and nature got almost entirely skipped over. Because the focus was so overwhelmingly on the age of the Earth, the point was never made that a mainstream scientific view about the age of the Earth is totally compatible with an intelligent design view that totally refutes Bill Nye's intolerant materialist beliefs about the history of life. For goodness sakes, Bill Nye was the one defending Big Bang cosmology, but viewers would never know that the Big Bang is one of the best arguments for the design of the universe ever offered by science. People will walk away from this debate thinking, Ken Ham has the Bible, Bill Nye has scientific evidence. Some Christians will be satisfied with that. Other Christians, like me, who don't feel that accepting the Bible requires you to believe in a young Earth, will feel that their views weren't represented. And because Ken Ham failed, whether due to time constraints, an inflexible debate strategy, or other factors, to offer evidence rebutting many of Nye's arguments for an old Earth, many young Earth creationist Christians with doubts will probably feel even more doubtful. Most notably, however, skeptics won't budge an inch. Why is that? Because Ham's main argument was, because the Bible says so. And skeptics don't take the Bible as an authority. They want to see evidence. That's why I strongly prefer evidence-based approaches to origins like ID. Skeptics who say, show me the evidence, are challenged with evidence. And because that's what ID argues from, the evidence for design and nature, skeptics are challenged. In a debate where people want to know what the evidence says, that moves everyone in the right direction. From my vantage as a proponent of intelligent design, it's unfortunate that the powerful evidence of design and nature was not hardly discussed at all in the Ham-Nye debate. A huge opportunity was lost. And what about Bill Nye's performance? Well, Bill Nye is a great science communicator, but I can just about guarantee that his knowledge about evolution goes no deeper than popular arguments you find in books by Dawkins and Coyne. He knows next to nothing about the many emerging scientific challenges to the neo-Darwinian paradigm. That's probably why he didn't hardly try to defend Darwinism during the debate. But a debater who is familiar with these issues could have shown the audience that an ID-based view of life is far superior to a Darwinian one. For example, in one of the rare instances where biological evolution came up, Nye cited Tiktaalik as a quote-unquote fish lizard that is a fulfilled, quote, prediction of evolution. Fish lizard. That's almost as bad as citing the infamous crocoduck. And Nye is apparently unaware that Tiktaalik isn't lizard-like at all and has fins that are entirely fish-like. Nye is probably also unaware that the so-called evolutionary prediction that Tiktaalik fulfilled went belly up after scientists found tracks of true tetrapods with digits some 18 million years before Tiktaalik in the fossil record. At one point, Nye also threw up a slide on the screen that was crammed with lots of tiny photos of hominin skulls, as if somehow this was supposed to demonstrate something about evolution. The reality is that there is a distinct break in the fossil record between human-like and ape-like fossils. And as we've discussed previously here on ID the Future, skull sizes through time do not make a good argument for the gradual evolution of humans. For a good discussion of how the fossil record does not support the evolution of humans from ape-like creatures, check out the book Science and Human Origins. In another instance, Nye gave the bland argument that, quote, evolution is a process that adds complexity through natural selection, unquote. But he probably has no idea about the growing body of evidence that is leading scientists to reject natural selection as an explanation for much of biological complexity. Indeed, in one of the few times when intelligent design was mentioned, Nye also said that nature is, quote, inconsistent with a top-down view, unquote, of ID. I suppose Nye is unaware that scientists increasingly say that biologists require a top-down approach to understand what we're discovering. For example, Paul Davies and Sarah Amari Walker recently wrote in Journal of the Royal Society Interface that, quote, the unique informational narrative of living systems suggests that life may be characterized by context-dependent causal influences, and in particular, that top-down or downward causation, where higher levels influence and constrain the dynamics of lower levels in organizational hierarchies, may be a major contributor to the hierarchical structure of living systems, unquote. Or, as James Valentine wrote in Proceedings of the U.S. National Academy of Sciences, quote, the record of first appearance of living phyla, classes, and orders can best be described in Wright's term as from the top down, unquote. The growing field of systems biology takes this top-down approach and applies it successfully to study biology. As a summary in the journal Science by Hiroki Kitano stated, quote, system-level understanding, the approach advocated in systems biology, requires a shift in our notion of what to look for in biology. While an understanding of genes and proteins continues to be important, the focus is on understanding a system's structure and dynamics. Because a system is not just an assembly of genes and proteins, its properties cannot be fully understood merely by drawing diagrams of their interconnections. Although such a diagram represents an important first step, it is analogous to a static roadmap, whereas what we really need to know are the traffic patterns, why such traffic patterns emerge and how we can control them. Identifying all the genes and proteins in an organism is like listing all the parts of an airplane. While such a list provides a catalog of the individual components, by itself it is not sufficient to understand the complexity underlying the engineered object. We need to know how these parts are assembled to form the structure of the airplane. This is analogous to drawing an exhaustive diagram of gene regulatory networks and their biochemical interactions. Such diagrams provide limited knowledge of how changes to one part of the system may affect other parts, but to understand how a particular system functions, we must first examine how the individual components dynamically interact during operation. We must seek answers to questions such as, what is the voltage on each signal line? How are the signals encoded? How can we stabilize the voltage against noise and external fluctuations? And how do the circuits react when a malfunction occurs in the system? What are the design principles and possible circuit patterns, and how can we modify them to improve system performance? Unquote. And this holistic top-down approach of systems biology can be applied to help us understand the, quote, irreducible organizational complexity of the cell, as a paper from December 2013 in the journal Cellular and Molecular Life Sciences stated, quote, self-referential organization, as we put it here, implies interconversion of information between logically distinct coding systems, specifying each other reciprocally. Thus, the holistic approach assumes self-referentiality, completeness of the contained information, and full consistency of the different codes, as an irreducible organizational complexity of the genetic regulation system of any cell. Put another way, this implies that the structural dynamics of the chromosome must be fully convertible into its genetic expression and vice versa. Since the DNA is essentially a carrier of genetic information, the fundamental question is how this self-referential organization is encoded in the sequence of the DNA polymer, unquote. This sort of research shows that ID principles are bearing real fruit in science. What we find in nature is fundamentally incompatible with the bottom-up approach of neo-Darwinian theory. Biology in the 21st century requires a goal-directed cause that can explain the integrated, top-down, holistic, and irreducible organizational complexity of the cell. That cause is intelligent design, but the audience watching the Ham Nye debate, live or online, learned hardly anything about this viewpoint. If you'd like to hear about a debate that did highlight this information and that's constructively framed around the central issues, listen to the Stephen Meyer-Charles Marshall debate. We've got it linked from www.evolutionnews.org. I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2014. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.